It's time. Are you ready?
Yep, it's another episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry. I'm your host, Amelia Dalton from eejournal.com, and this week we give thanks. In honor of that turkey-laden holiday taking place next week in the United States, I'm going to roll out the 487 things Amelia is thankful for. So, number one, duct tape. Number two, PCI Express. Number three, Southwest Airlines A-List. Yeah. Okay. No, shoot, we could be here all day. But seriously, duct tape is pretty awesome, right? Well, folks, in light of the first ever recorded robot suicide that took place in Austria, I'm going to put it right out there. I'm thankful for you, robot kind, not just because of your R2-D2 cuteness, your ability to herd cows, yes, really, or your ability to do my evil bidding. Okay, probably not going to be embarking on my next career as an evil genius overlord, but maybe the ability to make your robot underlings actually listen to what you say? Oh, that day maybe not. At this year's International Conference on Intelligent Robots and Systems, a research team from Simon Fraser University in British Columbia, Canada, presented some very promising research for my new minion robot army. I mean, yeah, This team contends that robots can be taught to pay attention to what we're saying, what we are doing, and where we are looking. And it's that last piece, teaching robots to pay attention to where we're looking? Well, that might be the key to it all. Okay, let's step back here a second. How do we get someone else, a person that is, to do something we want them to do? Words, sure, but how we communicate depends a lot on our gaze. Where we are looking determines who we are talking to, right? So this team at Simon Fraser University, well, they have gone about teaching robots to pay attention to our faces for direction on what to do. The key here is facial recognition software. Through their cameras and with the help of this facial recognition software, the AR drones being trained by this team can now determine which of them the human is commanding while also determining what said command is. The team then monitors the robots by watching their LEDs. Apparently, the LEDs change color when the robot thinks it's being paid attention to. A being paid attention to light. Oh man, I could think of some really great non-robotic use cases for that one. This team isn't stopping at facial recognition and verbal commands. Oh no, they plan to expand this project to include directional control as well. Just think of a fleet of robots that you could just command with the flick of a wrist. Skynet, here we come. If you want any further information, including a couple really cool videos of this commanding robot team in action, check out the links below the player on this week's Fish Fry page entitled Thankful Times. You know another thing that I'm thankful for? The iTunes Store. I love it. I can't even remember those days when I stole, I mean, borrowed. Hear that, NSA? I said borrowed music. For years after the inception of the iTunes Store, I thought, hey, why couldn't this model work for EE? Why couldn't we have something like an iSoftware store? Well, apparently Avnet was listening in on my private thoughts. Or maybe they just thought it was a really great idea as well. Let's check in with the Embedded Software Store with Shanika Coleman from Avnet. Thank you for joining me today, Shanika.
Thank you for having me.
So first, give my audience a little bit of background on the Avnet Embedded Software Store. You guys have been around since 2011, right? What's changed since then?
Yes, we started in 2011. We just completed our second year at TechCon. We partnered with Arm to build a one-stop shop for engineers to purchase their software. So the site is designed for developers and softwares to come together to purchase software. Over the last couple of years, we've grown our portfolio of software as well as vendors and added the new Arm tools to the softcore store as well.
Very cool. So let's talk about that in particular. You started distributing ARM development tools in the ESS this year. Have a lot of designers taken advantage of that?
Yeah, we've seen a steady increase in traffic throughout the year, and we'll continue to grow that software portfolio to offer a wide range of products as well as new vendors added. So the ARM tools has been a great addition to the software store.
So in addition to tools, designers can also get embedded software IP through the store as well. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. So for example, if you're an engineer and you're looking for some networking software for your design, we have several vendors on the site that provide that technology, such as HCC Embedded or CMX or Internet, just to name a few. So the store gives the engineers a single location to purchase a complete solution, whether it be software, hardware, or services. ESS is there for the engineer.
So, Shanika, we were speaking at ARM TechCon earlier this year, and I know that you have two boys in their teenage years. I have a 4-year-old son. Can you give me any advice for the years to come?
Well, one thing I would suggest is that you talk to him all the time. That's one tool that I've used throughout the years with my boys that now in high school, I don't seem to have an issue with them talking. So keep that communication going. I think you'll be in great shape.
That's some really great advice. Thank you, Shanika. Well, I think that's all I have time for. Thank you so much for joining me today, Shanika.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
And yet another thing to add to Amelia's thankful list for 2013, that little finger gesture that I do hundreds, thousands of times every day. No, not that finger gesture. Calm down now. The finger swipe. Yes, on my phone. To the engineering teams that made this bit of cell phone magic happen, kudos to all of you, my friends. But wait a second. What if the finger swipe wasn't the end all? What if we could interact with our cell phones in a whole different way? Using a knuckle, perhaps? My next guest is Eric Sigler from Digital Optics. Digital Optics was one of the winning entries at this year's MEMS Executive Congress Technology Showcase. And Eric's here to explain why. I'm here with Eric Sigler, VP Product Marketing at Digital Optics. Thank you so much for joining me today, Eric.
Thank you, Amelia. Happy to talk with you.
So first off, tell me exactly what MEMS CAM is. I'm super excited.
Well, MEMS CAM is the next generation of autofocus camera modules for the smartphone industry. We are replacing the existing technology, which is called voice coil, with a new MEMS actuator, which provides a variety of speed, power, and precision advantages for the smartphone imaging industry. We also take advantage of our precision to layer on a suite of computational imaging software features, such as being able to refocus an image after the fact or being able to track faces to ensure that your subject is always in focus.
So MEMS CAM is currently in one phone right now. Tell me about that.
Well, we've announced multiple production orders with our lead customer, which is Oppo. They are one of the premium brands in China. So we have several phone platforms that we are going into, although I can't tell you too much about the timing.
And what other markets are you looking at? Is this a phone-only technology, or are you going further?
That's a good question. At the moment, we view the smartphone opportunity as very large. It's about a $14 to $20 billion market. So we're in kind of walk-run mode. We're trying to get off the ground with our production and scale up the business before we worry too much about adjacent markets.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Eric, and I'm really looking forward to seeing MEMS CAM.
Thanks, Amelia. Appreciate your time.
And lastly, one thing that I'm thankful for is PCB auto routing. I know. Wait a second, Amelia. Auto routing? What? It's never been as good as the old-fashioned hand routing we've done for years. Well, if that's your stance, my friend, we should talk. In a recent Hot Off the Presses episode of Chalk Talk, Overcoming the Challenges of Highly Constrained Designs, I sit down with Jim Martins from the PADS group at Mentor Graphics and talk about this very thing. You can check out this fabulous episode by clicking the link below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page or by heading on over to the on-demand section of eejournal.com. Also, did you know that EE Journal has a Facebook page? I know, you probably did, but maybe you haven't gotten around to liking us yet. Well, you should. Head on over to facebook.com/EEJournal to do so. If you're into Twitter, hit us up at EEJournalTFM. And if Google Plus is your thing, well, okay, we're there too. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can also grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed, oh yeah, and subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. Well, that's all there is for this week's Fish Fry. Remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, including that recent robot suicide, I know, sad, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I should attend, or perhaps the best geeky hotspot in your hometown, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of November 22nd, 2013, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.